Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this fourth Sunday in Lent. There's only a few more to go. I have a few announcements. First of all, congratulations for remembering to turn your clocks ahead. I am so very proud of all of you. It was hard. It was hard getting up this morning. but we did it. So I just wanted to remind you there is a deacon's meeting right after worship. This is also your last chance to order Easter flowers. If you would like Easter flowers, we'll be turning in the order form after worship today. So make sure you go back to the sign-up table, order your Easter flowers. We're only a couple of weeks away from Easter, friends. So keep in mind with Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, we will have a worship at 7 p.m. And Good Friday, we'll have a tenebrae service at 6 p.m. So I just wanted to remind you of that. Session members, please remember to get your reports in this evening so that I can put the agenda together tomorrow. And there's something else I'm missing. What am I missing?
Women's Association meeting, but you have to decide whether it happens before or after church. Next Sunday.
You can have it before.
Okay. Women's Association meeting next Sunday before church.
Yeah. So Women's Association meeting next week before worship. I do have one more announcement. If you got your email yesterday, Claire Kaler's son, Justin, passed away unexpectedly this week, and she's asking for some privacy right now. Your prayers and your cards are very, very much appreciated, but she's just not at a place right now where she's comfortable with phone calls. And so I know we all love and care for her very, very much, but if you could respect this boundary that she's asked for right now. She'll be traveling to Arizona to finalize arrangements and things like that this week. Anything else that I've missed? Anything? No. Okay. With that, oh wait, no, I have a minute for mission. We're not going to prepare our phones in their most prayerful and meditative settings quite yet. I mean, you can, but so if you were here a few weeks ago, I gave a sermon called Reimagine, and we talked about the orphan crushing machine phenomenon in the world, and how we like to laud people for taking care of those immediate needs of the orphans, being saving orphans from the orphan crushing machine, but we don't ask, like, why does the orphan crushing machine exist in the first place? And I talked about the food banks and how we give to food banks, and people give a lot of money, and that is fantastic. We are feeding people, but we're not really addressing the underlying causes and reasons why people are hungry. And I mentioned that my engagement with Bread for the World, and that I would share a little bit more about Bread for the World later on. Today's that day. I was going to have someone come in and talk for me, but I could not. But a little bit about Bread for the World. They're a collective Christian voice urging our nation's decision makers to end hunger in our country and abroad. And they advocate through people, both within and outside of churches. And they encourage placing pressure on government representatives. And the goal is to change policies, to change programs and conditions that allow hunger and poverty to persist. Now, the current goal of Bread for the World is to end hunger by the year 2030. That's only 6 years away, folks. Today, 1 in 10 people around the world go to bed hungry every night, and 1 in 4 children are severe. 1 in 4 children under the age of 5 are severely malnourished. And the causes of hunger are much deeper than the immediate needs of donating to our local food pantries. Poverty, climate change, war, race and gender inequality, infrastructure, job instability. And Bread for the World writes to and visits with legislators about these issues of poverty and urges them to support more just policies. So right now, Bread is working on support for a passage of a Fair Farm Bill. And the point of that is to build healthy, equitable, and sustainable food systems here in the U.S. and throughout the world. And the Farm Bill, it started in the 1930s. And it's supposed to be reauthorized by Congress every 5 years. Well, the most recent Farm Bill expired in September of 2023. And that means that programs like SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, WIC, Women, Infants, and Children, those are usually the largest share of that bill. Those are still operating under the 2018 bill. And that has a lot of serious impact on nutrition and food assistance for Americans. Without a new bill in place, there are programs that are losing funding. They may not be able to operate. They might have to shut down. Some things like SNAP will continue, but they're going to have much more limited budgets. But the best way to get Congress to act on this is to write to them a personalized letter. You've gotten, when you came in, a piece of paper and a pen. So if you would like to have an offering of letters here today, we can write to our representatives, and I will send them to you. I will send them out for you. Every letter that you write to your representatives at any time is read, and it's cataloged. And those letters tell your representatives what issues they should prioritize as their constituent. So I will say, all of you, well, not you two, live in Senator Casey and Fetterman's district. Most of you also live in Representative DeLuzio's district, but there are some outliers there. So there is in your bulletins, there's an explanation of what the offering of letters is, as well as a sample letter. You've got some papers and pens. And if this is an important issue to you, I ask you to take a little bit of time this morning, maybe following worship, to write a letter to Senator Casey or Fetterman and ask them for a specific action. Something like, I urge you to support a farm bill that builds healthy, equitable, sustainable food systems. And then add a few sentences to your letter about why you, make it personal, why you really care about the issue. You can even add in Glenshaw Valley's commitment. Like, my church has been helping by donating food to and pantry items to the Aetna Food Bank. But I urge you to protect the SNAP program from cuts. And do make sure that you write at the end your address, your name and address, so that they know that you are one of their constituents. You can put your letters. We didn't have any envelopes out for you, did we? That's okay. you can bring your letters to me at the end of worship, and I will mail them out for you. Unless there is somebody from BREAD going to DC this upcoming week, I will give it to them to hand deliver. Yeah, if that's something important to you. If you need more time to write your letter, but you want to know, you know, the address and you want to send it, let me know. I'll get that for you. Otherwise, thank you for listening to my little talk about Bread for the World, which is a cause that's important for me. All right. With that, let us gather our hearts and minds and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. Before we were born, before we took our first breath, before the week started, before the year started, before we say, I love you, we say, I'm sorry. Before we figured out who we really are, before we figured out who we want to be, before it all, God loved us unconditionally and freely, fully and honestly. God loved us again and again. This is where our story begins. Let us worship God. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, There is a Wideness in God's Mercy. Friends, we were made from love, to be love, to give love. That's another way of saying that God loved first. Our story starts with love. So join me in the prayer of confession as we strive to commit this truth to memory. God of love, we forget the beginning of the story, that we were made from love, to be love, to give love. Instead of rooting our narrative in the goodness refrain of creation, we skip ahead and find our worth at the fall, with Cain and Abel lost in the wilderness. We forget that first there was you, and you are love. We forget that out of love you created us. We forget that from the very first day you loved first. We forget because a love like that doesn't make sense to us. Forgive our low self-esteem. Forgive our resistance to love ourselves. Forgive our hesitation to trust that even we could be made good. And forgive our tendency to pass that doubt on from generation to generation. Write a new beginning for us that roots our confidence in your unrelenting love. With hope we pray, again and again. Amen. Family of faith, no matter what we do, where we go, or what we tell ourselves, God is love, and God is loving us. Again and again, we are claimed, held, forgiven, and cared for. In the name of the lover, beloved, and love itself, thanks be to God. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated for our choir's anthem. Friends of faith, confident in God's love and mercy, let us pray for the world and for our needs. When I say merciful God, please respond with, hear our prayer. Holy God, you created in Christ Jesus, you created us in Christ Jesus for good works. Help those who profess faith in Christ to do good in the world, following the way of life you have prepared for those who believe in him. For the Church of Jesus Christ, merciful God, hear our prayer. In every age, you call forth men and women of integrity to lead your people in the way of righteousness. Help pastors and teachers fulfill their calling. Give them courage to speak the truth in love, and shield them from temptation to misuse their authority. For pastors and teachers, merciful God, hear our prayer. We pray to you for world affairs beyond our control. For the people of Ukraine, Israel, and Gaza, we pray for peace, knowing that you alone are the source of true shalom, peaceable kingdom. Where there are those in harm's way, we pray protection. Where we ourselves harbor enmity and prejudice, we pray awareness and grace that we may learn forgiveness. Teach us how we may serve you more fully in ways we cannot imagine. For governments and leaders, merciful God, hear our prayer. We pray for needs closer to home, for our own community. As we enter the season of Lent, we ask that you open our eyes to the needs on our very doorstep. May we see those whose names are known to you and offer compassion and goodwill. We pray for victims of violence. We offer our prayers to those who seek solutions for intractable problems. Let us not give up hope. Let us not abandon the work of healing the world. We remember that all healing comes from you. For our community, merciful God, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves, our own material and spiritual needs. Where our members suffer from illness and affliction, grant your healing touch, bringing wholeness. For any in our midst who suffer from depression or addiction, give us understanding and compassion. For those who are lonely, may we be a place of friendship, a warm haven where love is shared. This morning, we especially pray for the Kaler family following the unexpected death of their eldest son, Justin. God, you hear the cry of the sick and the afflicted. Save them from their distress, heal them of their disease, and deliver them from the destructive power of suffering. For the Church, Universal, Presbyterian, and Glenshaw Valley, merciful God, hear our prayer. O God, in Jesus Christ, you have shown your love for the world. As you receive our prayers, grant us what we need. Save us from perishing and bring us to everlasting life. All these things we ask as we pray the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of praise, Your Grace Is Enough.
Please, your faithful blessed, Lord of Jacob.
please be seated. There's nothing that we have done that has earned us salvation. There's no price we pay for the grace of God. As we bring forward our offerings, we know this is not a payment, not a transaction. This is a gift we give out of gratitude for all God has done for us. Merciful God, from the overflowing of your love, we have been given abundance upon abundance. Receive, we pray, our offerings and bless them. May we be blessed by their work as we see your reign among us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, doing the will of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we may walk in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. God of here and now, we have heard the words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son," time and again. We read them on billboards, hear them in worship, see people holding signs. Yet we know there is a difference between hearing those words in passing and truly, deeply listening. We long to listen, God. We long to hear your truth. We long to know your love. Open our hearts and minds. We are listening. Amen. So the title of this sermon may seem a bit of a stretch when compared to the scripture. I mean, the word love is actually only in this passage one time. That's in verse 4. The rest is all about sin and good works. But I see this whole passage actually centering around verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us. The passage starts off remembering the fall of humanity in the Garden of Eden. We're all sinful. None of us can get out of that. We can't help it. It's just part of human nature. And the folks, the original readers of this, the people in the first century, they knew that evil existed. But they were more likely to attribute it to like a demonic force that just sort of like permeates the world, and it needed to be warded off through like magic and things like that. But what Paul is saying is a little closer to what we understand as evil. Paul doesn't need a cosmic being in opposition to God to explain sin. There doesn't need to be a very personal power of evil that leads us astray to make us avoid walking the paths that have been established by God. Because we're pretty good at doing that all by ourselves. It's part of the human condition. All right, well, if it's part of the human condition, like, so what are we to do? Are we just wander around, lost, dead to sin, embracing evil, no hope? That's exactly the point where God's love comes in. Out of mercy, out of great love, God solved our natural condition of sin. God made us alive together with Christ. Our sins are forgiven. Over and over and over again, even before we recognize how badly we've messed up, even before we know that we have sinned, God intervenes. Doesn't stop there. God doesn't wait until we've cleaned up our acts to give us life. Again and again, God loves us. But God doesn't just love us, God loves us first. I have to tell you, that is such an overwhelming statement of joy for me. I mean, think about it. The mercy involved with that, the grace, the love. Sit with that. This isn't a tit for a tat or a, well, we'll see how faithful you are kind of love. It's not a, well, maybe after you die kind of love. This is a here and now kind of love, a before you were even formed in the womb kind of love. Twice in this passage, Paul says, by grace you have been saved. The whole reason that we have been saved is to be exhibit A of how gracious and loving God is, to be a testimony. Our predicament of being sinful beings has been solved through Jesus Christ. And it's been solved through Jesus Christ because God is loving and gracious. And the more we understand that, the more we learn about it, the more we feel it, the more we're able to display those same kinds of characteristics. Here's the most important thing, if you're taking notes. If you leave not hearing anything else this morning, hear this. Our salvation is entirely God's gift to us. There is literally nothing that we can do to earn it. The only thing we can do is open our hands and receive it. I don't know about you, but I'm blown away by this. In a world where I feel as though I constantly have to prove myself worthy and competent, even lovable sometimes, to think that God would love me, or even just want me, just the way that I am right now, the way that I stand before you right now, not the way that God might wish that I were. That is an overwhelming joy. I'm getting actually a little tingly right now. Each and every single one of us is a used car in the car lot with a big, bright, neon yellow tag that says, in bold capital letters, as is. And God pointed to each one of us and said, that one. That's the one that I want to save from the junkyard. I don't care if it needs body work, or if the transmission is wrecked, or if it randomly stalls anytime it goes over 45 miles per hour. I love it. I will pay anything for that. I tell you what, I will give you my firstborn son. How do you respond to a gift like that? A love like that? It certainly can't brag about it. We didn't do anything to earn God's love. And what kind of love would it be if God said, I'll love you and help you if you love me first and prove that you really want it? If that were the case, we'd all be plumb out of luck, because there's literally nothing in our human powers that could ever earn the love of our Creator. That being said, God loving us first and our inability to love God adequately doesn't mean we get to just float around in the pool sipping fruity drinks. We aren't excused from performing good works. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith. No, we do not rely on good works to be saved. But we are what God has made us. People created in Christ Jesus for good works. Instead of being a frantic means for trying to save ourselves, good works are an opportunity. They're an opportunity for us to live out the lives that we were destined to live. Good works are expressions of Christ alive within us, ministering to the world. Good works are our thankful response. That faithful and thankful response, that's loving other people the way that we are loved. Loving them first. And in response to God's workmanship, we live out our divine calling. The result of taking God's love so seriously is an outpouring of works. We remember that we have worth and value. The same worth and value as everyone else that we meet. because we were all created from love, to be love, to spread love. I have a video here that says this pretty well. It's from somebody, Kid President. You might remember him from back in the early aughts, later, yeah, probably 2008, 2009.
There's a lot that the kids need to know. A letter to a person on their first day here. Tonight, over 360,000 babies will be born, and you are one of them. Welcome, this is the world. It's a pretty cool place. There's lots to see, smell, there's corn dogs. Ah, I can't help myself. There's just so much to do. Singing, dancing. Oh, and laughing. Laughing's the best.
Are saved by the grace of God, not because we're good, but because God is good. Because again and again, God loves us enough to look past our flaws and our disobedience. Again and again, God loves us so much. He loves us so much that there's no repayment option for the grace that we've been gifted. Again and again, God loves first. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn. Amazing Grace. That's kind of perfect. Before I offer a charge and benediction, please remember to write your letter, your offering of letter, and if you are comfortable, give it to me at the end, and I will make sure that it gets to your senators and representatives. So now, as we go back out into the world, let me offer a charge and a benediction. As you leave this space, may your mouth speak of God's goodness. May your arms hold those in need. May your feet walk towards justice. May your heart trust its worth. May your soul dance in God's grace. And may this be your rhythm. Again and again and again, until God's promised day. In the name of the lover, the beloved, and love itself, go with courage, go with heart, go in peace. Amen. Some adults.